Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Ashoka Buildcon Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Nirmal Bang Equities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Jyoti Gupta from Nirmal Bang Equities. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Shlok. Hello, everyone. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities, I welcome you all to the Ashoka Buildcon Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. We have with us Mr. Satish Parakh, Managing Director, Mr. Paresh Mehta, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Piyush Jain, Assistant Vice President, Accounts and Taxation. Without further ado, I request Mr. Satish Parakh, sir, to start with his opening comments, after which we can open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Hope everyone is doing well. On behalf of Ashoka Buildcon Limited, I extend a warm welcome to everyone joining us today to discuss our business and financial results for the quarter ended 30th June 2024. On this call, we are joined with our CFO, Mr. Paresh Mehta, our Vice President, Mr. Piyush Jain, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisor. Let me begin by giving an industry overview. India's road infrastructure has undergone significant development, with constant focus on improving overall connectivity while also establishing critical links even in geographically challenging regions. As a priority sector for the center, the sector had witnessed ambitious highway construction targets, rapid execution to support this target by efforts. The regime was slowed down significantly due to elections and delay in land acquisition approvals. The government has set a provisional target of constructing 10%, 15% lower than 2324 achievements.
Mr. Satish, sir, sorry to interrupt. Your voice is lagging a lot. Should we reconnect your line?
From April to June, 1,934 kilometers of highway were constructed, compared to 2,524 have diverted district authorities' focus impacting on construction pace. NHAI has plans to offer around 15 road projects worth 44,000, spanning 900 kilometers for bids under BOT mode. These projects are part of centers' plan to offer 53 projects worth 2.2 trillion, covering 5,200 kilometers under BOT over the next 3 to 5 years. Recently, the government amended the concession agreement model to make the model more attractive. NHAI has announced plans to monetize around 2.4 billion worth of road projects through InvIT to reduce substantial debt and aims at leverage assets to repay loans on project funds of the company. The company has received completion certificates with effect from April 2024 on its hybrid annuity model project of National Highways of India, eight-lane of Vadodara-Kim Expressway. The company is in receipt of completion certificate of its hybrid annuity mode project of NHAI for the designing, engineering, and financing for NH-161 from Kandi to Ranaspale in the state of Telangana, executed by Ashoka of the company.
Mr. Satish, sir, you're not.
The company has emerged as lowest bidder for two EPC projects of Maharashtra State and Jaigarh-Rewas-Reddy Coastal Highway. The company has also emerged in the lowest for two of the MMRDA projects, the Ivory Coast in 2024.
Mr. Satish, sir, sorry to interrupt. Your voice is not audible. Should we reconnect your line?
Limited. Are making progress toward divestment of the entire stake a specific subsidy that are awarded by NHAI for the construction and operation of road projects on HAM. Considering these completed project assets and liabilities continue to be classified as held for sale.
Hello.
Coming to the order book status, as on 30th June 2024, our balance order book stands at 10,356 crores. This is excluding the projects where we are L1 of 3,400 crores. If we add that, then it becomes 13,800 crores. The breakup of order book is for roads and railway projects, it compromises of 5,316 crores, which is 52% of the total order book. Among the road projects order book,
sir,
HAM
sorry,
projects
can
are 931 crores and EPC road projects are 3,694 crores. Railway is around 691 crores. Power T&D accounts for around 4,424 crores, which is approximately 42% of the total order book. The total EPC building segment, INR 6 of rupees 3,434 crores. To conclude, let me say this again, that our primary focus remains on maintaining sustainable EPC business in segment comprising highways, railways, power transmission, distribution, buildings and waterways. This is all from my side. I would now request Piyush Jain to present the financial performance. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon to all. Results and investor presentation and press release has been uploaded on the stock exchange and company website. I am sure you must have had a time to go through it. I will present the financial results of the quarter and previous quarters, starting with the standalone numbers for Q1 financial year 25. The total income for Q1 financial year 25 stood at 1,901 crores as compared to INR 1557 crores in quarter 1 24, registering a growth of 22%. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 145 crores, a growth of 52% year on year, with EBITDA margins of 7.6%. PAT grew by 148% year on year to 41 crores. Our revenue contributed for each segment for Q1 FY25 is as follows. Road EPC contributed 43%, road HAM contributed 10%, EPC power contributed 31%, railway stood at 10%. For other building EPCs and other segments, it's around 5%. Our standalone debt to equity ratio stood at 0.5% as on 30th June 24. Coming to consolidated result, the total income for Q1 FY25 stood at 2495 crores as compared to INR 1973 crores for Q1 FY24, registering a growth of 26%. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 628 crores, a growth of 23% year on year. PAT grew by 156% year on year to 158 crores. The total consolidated debts as on 30th June stood at INR 7183 crores, which constitute standalone debt of INR 1410 crores, which comprises 114 crores for equipment and term loans and 1296 crores for working capital. Towards our BOT division, during the Q1 25, we recorded a gross collection of 321 crores as against INR 307 crores for Q1 24, recording growth of 4.8%. With this, we now open floor for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. My first question on the margins, sir. Margins in this quarter was 7.6%, I think, excluding other income. Do you think that we'll improve the margins in the balance of the quarter? And what will be a target EBITDA margin by end of for the fiscal year 25? And can expect the improvement in FY26?
So practically we are around in the range of 7 to 8%, and hopefully for next two quarters it would be in same lines. And this is the new order book that is there in the pipeline, and which is already where we are L1. We feel that from third and fourth quarter onwards, we should be in the range of around 9 to 10%.
That's our target. Now, what is the full year target? Let's say for what is your aspiration level to go to the margin? Margins have declined from 12% to I think 7%. Has been massive, you know, decline in the past few years.
So practically we had been at around 10%, around 10 to 12%, and in the, as we discussed in the last quarters, we'll be at around 8%. So hopefully this range of 8% would be there for a quarter or so, and then we'll be at 10-12%. This is majorly because of the some projects which we have backed post COVID, and also we have entered into the new segments as well.
Understood. My second question is on the order inflow expectation for the entire fiscal. Of course, the elections are over now. And are you seeing that there is a momentum in the tender pipeline? Are you seeing enough tenders out there which gives you some confidence that the tending for the road sector will be at, will be very, very high in this particular fiscal? Last year was pretty bad. Last year, there were hardly any road tendering. That's the reason I'm asking. Yeah.
Mr. Mohit, does that answer your question?
No, I think I asked you the second question, right? Just ask the question. Can you hear me? Hi. Am I audible?
Yeah, it's regarding the order book intake that you are...
My question was more on the NHI pipeline. How are you seeing that? How do you think, you know, because this last year was pretty bad. Are you expecting this? How the things are? How the tender pipeline looking like at this point of time? And some comment on the BOT would be helpful. Yeah.
So total bid proposal pipeline is considering NHI and other MOT project is to the tune of 3,700 kilometers and would be at around 93,000 crores, and the ABL pipeline would be to the crux of 78 crores out of that, with a length of 2,400 kilometers.
Understood. And how is the new BOT document, if new NCA, different from the earlier document? How is it better?
I could not hear it clearly. Can you please repeat?
Just spoke about the current NCA document, the model administration agreement, is better than the earlier document. I'm asking that what are the improvements which have happened in the current document compared to the past? This is for the BOT. Yeah.
Could you just repeat the question?
So the question was on the model concession agreement, where you just mentioned that there's a new model concession agreement which has been finalized for the BOT. How this is better for the developers now compared to the past?
No, we'll come on this, you know, one-to-one call.
Sure.
Lots of developments which have happened. It'll take longer, and since I'm traveling, it's on and off the cutting floor.
Sure, sir. I will take it offline. Thank you. Thank you for asking my questions, sir. Thank you. Best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you. We remind all the participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ashish Shah from HDFC AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. May I request you to update on the status of the monetization that we had planned? one on the HAM side and the other on the BOT asset side. Where are we on those two processes?
So both these processes are at very much advanced stage, and maybe in a month's time we'll be entering into SHA, and then of course NOC process will take some time.
Okay. And there was also a plan to, I mean, earlier announcement of monetizing the other assets of Jaora Nayagaon and also of Chennai ORR. So again, what's the update on that?
Those are under discussions, and it may take a little longer time for monetization of these two assets. Yeah.
Okay, but in the meantime, you think the ACL BOT assets and the HAM assets, that can certainly be...
Yes, those are at advanced stage of discussions, and we are very much in the range of signing SHA.
Sure. Could you update, sir, what's the standalone debt? I missed that number. What's the standalone debt for the quarter? And why has that working capital been consistently going up? I mean, over the last few years, I think it's gone up substantially. So what are the main reasons for this increase in working capital, and what are we thinking about it? How can it be brought down?
So standalone debt as at 30th June is 1410, and this mainly comprises of working capital requirement loans that we have raised. It's mainly on account of the mix of projects that we have, and mainly contributed by the increased turnover that we have over the last 2-3 quarters. And basis that, there is an increase in working capital loans. And some increase in the quarter is on account of payment of NCDs that we had at ACL level that has been fully repaid now.
Okay, so the 200 odd crores of NCDs at ACL has been completely...
Yeah. It was 250 originally and had been fully repaid in the range of 100 crore in the quarter.
In this quarter, about 100 crores.
Yeah.
But in this overall profile of working capital, you think this is the stable level of working capital as the company could have? There is nothing particular that you think was wrong and can come down in the quarter?
No. It would go down because we are executing the projects which require working capital, so as to have a material which is required for a longer period of the project. We have a bridge project, so there we need a settling material, and that requires more capital, working capital.
Okay. But nothing on the side of electrification projects where a working capital could be.
Yeah, electrification projects also require working capital, but it gets settled on the basis of the billing period schedule and cycle, and we get the sometimes mobilization advance also. So practically it will get settled, because once we are in the mid or at the end of the execution of the projects, we should get the realization of the amount initially invested in for the working capital.
Right. And this last thing from me, the L1 position that we have, by when do we expect this to be converted into a firm order?
We are expecting this around 15th of September.
Sure. But you don't see any risk of cancellation or anything of this L1 position?
As of now, there is nothing such. They have been awarding in the past, so
right.
I feel it should go.
Yeah.
Right, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Shah from JM Financial Limited. Please go ahead.
Sir, in first quarter, EBITDA margin was around 6.5% if I remove the other income. So what would be the guidance for the margins after excluding the other income? So your guidance was including other income or excluding other income? For the remainder, you could around 8% for 2Q and 9-10% for the second half.
So definitely it's excluding other income, and if you see the last quarter, we are in the range of around 7-8%, so it should be in line to that. Sometimes there are 0.5 plus minus is there on account of certain project closure and certain impacts.
So second half should be around 9-10%, right?
Yeah.
And what would be the number same for FY26?
So considering the current L1 status and the projects that we'll be executing in coming years down the line and the robust order book that we have, so we are able to recoup some of the overage, and we feel that it should be in the lines of around 10-11 and then should retain the same.
Okay, sir, I missed the initial remarks. Can you repeat the guidance in terms of revenue and order inflow for 25 and 26?
So, as far as revenue is concerned, we should be around 15-20% growth.
For 25?
Yeah, yeah, around 20%.
And order inflow?
Order inflow should be, we are already at 3,400 for quarter one and would expect the signing of the same in coming quarter. So on the same lines, we should be having around 10 to 12 crores addition in the year.
10 to 12,000 crores for the annual, for FY25.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akhilesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I have two questions. First one is, we have recently appointed somebody as the head of our water vertical. So I wanted to know more, what are our plans for this vertical? How big we think it can become? And what is the margin profile in this segment?
So this vertical, we are executing one project in India, one water project we are executing in Hawaii Coast, and we are participating in other projects. As we build qualification, this vertical also will be part of our full range EPC segment.
And how is the margin profile, sir, in this vertical? And can you...
margins would be more or less same as all other EPC businesses.
So around 10%.
Yeah.
Okay. And it can be maybe 10% of our order book going ahead once you get more and more qualification.
Yeah, now slowly we are building the vertical, so it should be 15 to 20% of our entire business, maybe 2 years down the line.
Okay. And sir, second question is on this asset monetization. So as we know that it's been dragging for a while, so I just want to understand whether we are not happy with the bids that we are getting, or is there some defect in the paperwork still? How close are we, you know, to actually concluding something there?
So paperwork and you know, getting all the SHA agreements done has taken a little more time, but now in the shooting range and will be through very soon.
So, have you finalized something with somebody? I mean, basically,
yeah,
what is the investors would...
Yeah, range of signing SHA.
Okay.
So, very soon we'll be announcing that.
Okay. Okay, sir. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Prem Khurana from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for taking my question. My first question was with respect to our recent order in IB Coast. So we've been talking about international opportunities, and it currently is almost around 10% of our total order backlog. Would you be able to share, I mean, where do you see this number in 3-4 years hence? I mean, is it there in between, India was a little slow in terms of order, which is why you've gone to Ivory, or you would keep on exploring new markets and irrespective whether India is slow or you have enough opportunity here? I mean, what are the plans for the international geographies in terms of new orders that you're targeting, and any new geographies that you're targeting besides Ivory now?
Yeah. So presently we're working in 6 countries. And we'll try to focus on these countries and then slowly grow there. This will be an independent vertical. We'll add maybe in 2 to 3 years' time around 20% of our order book and revenues.
Sure. In all the segments, I mean, roads, buildings, can we do in India?
All the segments which we are present in India, we will be exploring them abroad also.
Sure. And so when you say, I mean, we are on the verge of closing transaction for BOT tolls as well, the original five projects we are supposed to sell to KCR. So there are two assets wherein the concession is supposed to be done with by 28 and 29, Durg and Bhandara. I think in between there was this perception that these two could stay out of that agreement that you do. So, I mean, what's the status now? Would we go for all the five assets that the FHA is talking about? Would we for all the five assets? I mean, it could be for three, because the other two, I mean, in terms of concession, there's hardly anything left for the buyer. I mean, it's only around 3-4 years sort of pending tail period is what is left.
Yeah. So, as I explained earlier, talks are in advanced stage for all the five BOT projects and all 11 HAM projects. And these two independent portfolios are at advanced stage where we will be very soon signing SHAs.
Sure.
Yes.
Cool. In Jabra, Naika and Chennai, so the
Chennai may take a little more time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Jawara, still we are facing challenges for getting NOC. It requires a change in condition in the concession agreement, which is taking a little more time as it requires cabinet approval.
Sure. The buyer is still the same in IIS, or I mean, because I mean, it's been sometimes the exclusivity is done with, we would look at new buyer as well for Chennai or Jawara.
We'll come back to it.
Sure. And also, I mean, if you can help us understand the increase that I've seen in the net debt number in this quarter on standalone side, so from 600 odd crore rupees, we've gone to 1200. So there's a jump of almost 600 odd crore rupees. I mean, how much of this is, I mean, essentially, would you believe that it is temporary and the pay cycles are elongated because of elections and you it'll come down by, and where do you see the debt number by the end of this year?
So practically it should be on the same lines. It is majorly because if you see the cash balance that we had at the year end is compensating, because there were some collections at the year end from the government side, the payments were done. So practically there is effective increase of around 200-300 crores, which are in lines to the turnover we had done in the quarter, and also that has been used for the repayment of NCDs at ACL level. So it should be in the same lines, and there would definitely be an increase over a period because our turnover has also increased at a growth of around 20% around. So definitely working capital would see a rise.
Sure. And when you say same line, I mean, I'm talking about the FY24 levels, right?
Yeah. It should be in the same lines of around 1100.
Sure. Thank you and all the best for future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vasudev from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Sir, if you can help me with the equity or total equity requirement for the HAM project, how much has been infused till date and what is the pending infusion?
So practically the pending infusion is around 120 crores and we have invested in HAM projects to the tune of 919 crores. Means we have invested 1170. That is our commitment, and out of which 120 crore is to be done.
Oh, okay. And this 120 crore, how much will be infused in FY25?
So this would be mostly in the FY25 only, because 2-3 projects are at the completion stage only.
Okay, and sir, the capex that we're planning for FY25 and how much have we done in the first quarter?
So we have around capex of 110 crores, out of which in the first quarter we have done around 10 crores.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parikshit Kanpal from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Yes, so my first question is on the monetization. So, before monetization, nowadays, Anita is asking for settlement of all the previous claims before giving NOC. For all these projects, what is the status on the claim settlement with NHAI, and has that been one of the major issues for which there has been delay in the monetization? Hello. Hello, sir. Can you hear me? Hello.
Yeah. Can you repeat it, please?
So I was asking that now, before any monetization nowadays, NHAI is asking for a settlement of old claims, which typically concessionaires put on NHAI. So in our case, has that been an issue because of which there has been delays? And if, and at what stage of settlement are we, or reconciliation are we with NHAI before we can conclusively sign the SHA?
So for HAM as such, almost we are at advanced stage for most of the projects, and in some there is COD also achieved. This is the settlement. And for BOT, some projects are at discussion stage and should happen. So we can take it offline on one-to-one
sure.
basis.
Sure, sir. Second question is on margins. I mean, sorry, I'll join the call a little later. If you can understand without other income, what will be the targeted EBITDA margin for FY25 and 26? Because we have seen delays in recovery of EBITDA margins, but now with new orders coming in and depletion of old order books, how do we see the EBITDA margin standing out for FY25, and which quarter in FY25 do you think that there will be significant improvement in the margin trajectory, and then the guidance for FY26?
So as we discussed in earlier calls as well, so hopefully by second half of this year and most probably by fourth quarter, we should have a range of 8 to 10%, around 9%. So, and for the this is the addition, as you had rightly said, and the increase in the order book inflows for the current year that we expect. So we should have a margins of around 10 and for the next year.
So 10% in FY26.
Yeah.
And the revenue growth in FY26 is what was the, what are the growth you are targeting for FY26?
Around 20%.
So this year 20 and next year also 20%.
Yeah.
And just the last question, sir, on the T&D piece, I just wanted to understand, now these HVDC projects are coming. So first of all, are we qualified to bid for this? Are we giving any support bids to the developers who are participating in this tendering? So beyond 400 kV, 765, 800, so are we qualified, or we will target more on the RDSS side?
Mr. Parikshit, please, can you repeat the question for the management?
Sir, on the transmission and distribution side, so are we qualified to bid for HVDC EPC opportunity which is coming up? So primarily, or another way I want to ask, for high voltages like 400 kV or 765 or 800 kV, is there any opportunity wherein we can participate? Or largely our presence will be more in the lower kV kind of opportunity on the distribution side?
So for 765, we will not be able to qualify. We will be executing on the same lines around 220 and up to 300.
Up to 300 kV, you will be basically tendering, participating in the tenders up to 300 kV. Okay, sir, my questions are answered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. For a reminder to all the participants, you may please press star and 1 to ask a question. I repeat. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Dharma from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay. You mentioned about in the commentary about the projects from NHAI, but you are not completely audible. So can you please repeat that particular part? How do you see projects coming from NHAI and what is the situation now? Is it the similar kind of thing, or is there any change that you see after the election results?
So practically, there were no orders last quarter, and in the first quarter also there was a little bit delay or something. So we are expecting that order book pipeline to be in the current year should be to the tune of around 3,700 kilometers, and which would comprise of 93,000 crores. This is the total, and we proposed around 2,400 for our pipeline to the tune of 78,000 crores. This is including NHAI, MoRTH, and we should have major inflows in Q3, Q4.
Mr. Nitin, does that answer all your questions? Mr. Nitin? The current participant seems to have disconnected. We'll take the next question, which is from the line of Jyoti Gupta.
Rasmus sir, thank you for the opportunity. Can you please give me the breakup of revenue from international operations? What would be the breakup, domestic versus international?
So presently, domestic versus international in the current quarter is around 15-20% that we have executed, and it should be in the same range of around 10-12%.
For the next three quarters, it will be 10-12%.
10-12, yes.
And in terms of EBITDA, which is more lucrative, domestic or the international?
So practically, it's in the same line, maybe 1-2% more.
Okay. My other question is on the depreciation side. Do we expect depreciation going down significantly in the next two quarters? Because as you understand, a lot of machines which are getting exported will be disposed in these foreign lands. Therefore, new machines, obviously, you look at depreciation maybe after a year.
So practically, for depreciation for overseas, we have a policy of charging extra depreciation considering the overseas exposure and movement of the machinery. So we feel that it should be in the range of around 20 odd crores for quarter on quarter basis. And as per our policy, if substantial addition is done in this year, which we expect around 100 crores odd, then we'll have an addition of depreciation to those assets, and should be in the range of 20-25 crores, because we have a policy of expected life based on WDV method.
Okay. And is the revenue from international operations being built up in the total revenues on a consolidated level? Is the money being booked here as well, repatriated into India?
Yeah. This is a projects which are executed through branch, so all the turnover is captured in the standalone itself.
Okay. And there is repatriation from international assets?
It's through also majorly projects that we are doing are Exim funded.
Okay. My other question is, sir, that while we don't see a substantial increase in the projects, yet our cost of materials on an overall basis plus has actually increased. Any specific reason? Is it to do with procurement of mines?
No, it's not mines basis, but practically, if you we have to take both the expenses put together, cost of material as well as the construction and other expenses, because the mix of the projects that we execute depends on the nature of subcontracting that we have given.
So an overall basis, what is the average subcontracting contribution which actually deters the revenue side for the company?
So it depends on case-to-case basis. So it would be difficult on one-to-one basis that how much is there, but it should be in the range of around 30-40%, and then material cost around 40%.
Okay. So what is the status of international projects if there's, if the delays Two questions. One, are we still having issues with procurement of land and so where? And the other thing is, if there is a deficit of projects within India, do we see that being compensated from international projects?
So as
so international is an independent strategy, an international vertical is developing on its own. Particularly, second generation has taken over it. They're already working in 6 countries, as said, excluding India. So it's a ring which will grow on its own.
Okay. Okay. That's all
we have sufficient bandwidth and manpower to take up national projects.
Okay.
That answer all your questions, right?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Before we take the next question, we would like to remind all the participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Vishal Periwal from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Opportunity. I have just one question. In a consolidated cycle-wise result, I think the BOT NOT projects that line item which is there, revenue is largely flattish to margin decline, but our segment result, which is EBIT, has seen a pretty sharp improvement. So is there any one-off in this BOT NOT projects in terms of margins for us in this quarter?
No, practically it's mainly on account of the reduction in the interest that is there, the allocated interest for BOT projects and other projects, and HAM projects income come on the basis of the IRR. So basis the future collections that we expect and the increase in the rates of interest gives us the better IRR, and accordingly the margins in that segment increase.
Okay, so the margins that we are seeing in this quarter, probably that will
yes.
Okay. Sure, sir. Yeah, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We would like to remind all the participants to ask your question. Please press star and 1. We'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Jyoti Gupta from Nirmal Bang Equities for closing comments.
Thank you, Shlok. And I'm very sorry for the technical issue that we had in the beginning. At the same time, thank you, management. Thank you, participants. Over to the management for closing comments, please.
Thank you. I hope we have been able to answer most of the queries. We would look forward for your participation in the next quarter. For any further queries, you may contact SGA, our investor relation. Thank you. Thank you from our side.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.